Okay, good morning again. And a very warm welcome to everybody to our service today. Today's a very different sort of service. It's only the second time we've done this. But whilst our church is currently without a minister, we're just engaged in a process as a church of looking at our vision, looking at what God's calling us to, because once we know that, then we know what sort of minister we might want to call to join us in the work in this place. Very special welcome if you're visiting. We're going to be talking, going to be looking at our community today and how we can reach out to the community. And so even if you don't feel part of this church, we would really welcome what I would call your prophetic input into what the church could be doing. There's a very good chance that you might think of something that we wouldn't have considered because we've never done that or that's not us. So the fact that you're here, I would view as I believe God has sent you to us to speak to us, and feel free to do so without fear or favour because, well, I suppose you don't have to come back, do you? But, you know, feel free to be bold about challenging us as a church. Special welcome also to some of our friends from Carey Baptist Church, just down the road, with whom we share this patch and are thinking increasingly about sharing ministry. It's lovely to have you here. And can I just check we've hidden the family silver? Yeah? Okay. In terms of notices, in the event of fire, obviously it's a slightly more complicated arrangement. Just make your way easily out to the car park. If that is where the fire is, then we will move through the community hall and out that way. Drinks and refreshments, obviously these are available, and this is a relaxed form of service. You know, feel free to get up at any time to go and help yourself to drinks at the back if you want refills. Photos, social media. Roy likes to put things on social media for us. It will be mostly the backs of your heads today, but if you don't want your bald patch to appear on the on our Facebook, then do have a word with Roy and we'll make sure it doesn't. September prayer sheet and prayer diary and notice sheet. Those are at the back in green. Thank you for Margaret for preparing those for us. Our regular Wednesday activities, we have a prayer meeting Wednesday mornings. We have craft and chat on Wednesday afternoons, both of those in the community hall. Cafe church, oh yes, well, you know about that now, don't you? Next week, we have a shared service with our friends from Carey at Carey Baptist. We will be thinking about our joint missionaries, Mark and Andrew Hodgkins, who mission out in Chad. And we have a speaker from BMS coming for that service. So please make that service a priority to come and share in that work. Those of you who are worried about car parking, Carey does have a car park, which I'm told they will open for us, he says, looking meaningfully. But in any event, you know, we will sort the car parking out, even if it means, you know, people parking back here and then one person driving them through. So don't worry about the car parking. We can sort the car parking. Next Saturday, Ride and Stride is the Historic Churches Trust regular annual fundraising event. We use it to open up the church and do a clean. So there is a bit of mess today with the croissants. I'm going to be getting you to sprinkle salt and stuff. So we will be cleaning that up next week. But we're going to be here from 9 o'clock to try and give the church a good clean, catch some cobwebs we've not caught for a couple of months, and just make it shipshape in Bristol fashion for the new season. And just a notice that our church meeting, which was scheduled for the 17th, has been put back to the 24th. So the church meeting's on the 24th, and this is because we now have a nomination for a church secretary. So nominations are open. If there's somebody that you feel might be willing to stand, or you yourself are feeling a tap on the shoulder, then we are taking all nominations. So it's not just a, oh, phew, we've got a church secretary, move on. So nominations are open. If you ask one of the deacons, there are slips in the office for that. Okay, Maureen has one more notice, and then we will start the service. Thank you.
Good morning. Right, this is our call to worship. And how better to start our Sunday service than just by quietly focusing our hearts and minds on our Lord. So let us pray together. We have come this morning, Lord, to bring you our praise and our thanksgiving. May our worship here be pleasing to you. Open our ears and hearts to hear your word, and fill us with your spirit that we may grow in wisdom and knowledge, serving you faithfully and bringing your good news to our families and friends. Amen. Can we now sing together our first hymn, There's a Light Upon the Mountain, Mission Praise number 679. Let us offer now a prayer of praise and adoration. Let us pray. Lord, our God. Help us to give our minds to you in our worship, so that we may listen to what you have to say to us and know your will. Help us to give our hearts to you in our worship, so that we may truly desire to do what you require from us. Help us to give our strength to you in our worship, so that through us your will may be done. For yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite Chris now to come bring us our reading.
Morning, everybody. I'm going to start with our first reading, and then we're going to move on to our next hymn. Reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 to 9. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to their descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for howling one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is this what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? It's not this kind of fasting I've chosen. To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide your poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. On your night will become like the noonday. We'll move on to our hymn, which should be. What have you done? That's your fault.
Stop.
Right. We'll get there eventually. I do not know what lies ahead. Thank you, Brian. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Yet one stands near to be my guide, he'll show the way to me. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with his problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, into him my all. How many days of life are mine to spend? And cares for me will keep me to the end. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with his problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. Not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs are there, but one is near who fully knows, I trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with his problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all.
Matthew, chapter 5. Hey!
We'll use that one, shall we, folks, as it's on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, verses 13 to 20, and it's headed Salt and Light.
Good.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that ends the reading. We've got a talk from Fiona. Could that be? Come and join me. May I say what a joy it is to see you?
You might want to change that when I've spoken, Roy. Good morning. It's nice to be back here. I've had 3 weeks off. I've been cat-sitting for my son and daughter-in-law in London. And I came back last weekend and received an email from Nick. He sends these emails out to the deacons quite frequently. And this one was listing what he expected everybody to do today, or what he wanted everybody to do today. So I know that I'm being punished for having 3 weekends off. I don't know what you're being punished for, because you've got to listen to me speak. So I looked at the roots that Nick said, I just needed to read. Okay, I can do that. Then I read the passages. And I thought, if I just read this, then I'm doing what Isaiah says he doesn't really want us to do, which is read, pray, and just hope for the best, really. So I can't do that. What do I talk about? So all I can say today is what these readings meant to me and what I felt they were saying. I haven't got a degree in theology. I could be completely wrong, but this is what it was saying to me, that we need to do things. We need to pray. We need to look at the Bible. We need to obey God's laws. But we actually need to do something proactive and positive, and we need to be making an effort and doing things. And throughout the Bible, there's little phrases that encourage us to do things and say, we should be doing this, we need to do this. But we read them, but we don't always take them on board. And I know when my kids were little, I had lots of little signs around my house, mainly in the kitchen and the bathroom, that sort of said, if it's dirty and you've used it, wash it. If you spilt it, wipe it up. If you've used the last one, tell mum. I also had a couple in my bathroom as well, which I won't give you the details of, but just bear in mind, I lived in a house with 5 males. So we need to be doing more than praying and reading. We need to be... Margaret's done some brilliant things over there. That one I love. I can't read it from here. Perhaps somebody could read that for me.
Don't ask God to guide your footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet.
Says it all, really, isn't it? We have to do more than just pray. We need to be active and demonstrating to people what our faith means to us, and encouraging people to come to church, encouraging people to read the Bible, and sharing that light with them. Matthew comments about the light. Isaiah comments about doing good deeds and looking after people and nurturing people and caring for people, which we need to do. We need to be going out there and encouraging people to look at us and think, Rocky Road Baptist Church or Carey Baptist Church or Fuller Baptist Church, I've got something and I want to know what that is. I want to find out what that's all about. We all have gifts. We all have different talents that we can use. I had something that happened. Something said to me when my twins were born. They were born at 28 weeks, both just under 2 pounds. And there was a locum consultant at the hospital, and he was a New Zealander. And he was obviously doing some very controversial things to my boys, because the other nurses and the staff there weren't happy about following his instructions. And on day 3, he said to me, "I've got lots of skills. I have a lot of knowledge. I've done what I can. The rest is up to God." And I think that's what we need to be thinking now. What can we do? Are we going to sit here and read and think, well, I've done my bit? Or are we actually going to do something, make the effort, push our boundaries a bit, get out of our comfort zone, and move forward? Thank you. We now have another hymn, "The Church is One Foundation." I haven't got the clicky thing. That's not my responsibility. I don't do that.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Please sit down and feel free to take a drink after that higher than normal rendition. Okay, we're going to stretch ourselves again in this morning's activity. You will see that on the tables you have maps of the area of Kettering around Rocky Road Baptist Church. I thought when I printed them off, these will be plenty big enough. And then I put them on the tables, and by that time it was sort of too late. So you may just have to share them. These are the activities. Gone over too far. Okay. So these are the activities that I want us to do on the tables. The first is just to look at the map. What do we see there? What is not on the map? Okay, so Margaret, who very kindly stitched these together for me, noticed that there's new housing estate being built up the road. That's not listed on the map. So you've got pens, you've got highlighters, and you may want to sort of write things in. Okay, so discuss the map, discuss the area, and think about what is there. Having thought about what's there, talk about the community, the needs, the problems, the developments. It could be that we're thinking about the students from the primary school. And when I was at New Wine this year, there was a charity that they pushed very hard that does mentoring for children, children who are struggling at school. The idea that they get a year's mentoring and that with that additional support, they don't end up being the sort of child who's excluded and falls out of the education system. Or prayer spaces, or running some sort of after schools club. Or perhaps we're thinking about some of the care homes, Ashley Court, which has already asked if anybody's prepared to go in and do services. Or even just the houses, whether it's the new houses, whether it's the ones that have been here for years. What are the needs? What do we see? And talk about how, as church, we could reach out to this community. What sort of things could we do? Even if we think it's beyond our current capability, what does our position here as a church, what do our resources, these rooms we've got, what sort of things do we think we could do? And this is the sort of the brainstorming, even if the idea is completely wacky. And again, those of you who are visiting today, present us with the ideas and your experience from other places, from other churches. Help us to think outside the box. And then I want you to put the candle, when you've done all that with the map and written things in and highlighted and all the rest of it, put the map in the center and then put a candle where you think Christ's light shines, or you where you want it to shine. We do have a lighter, we haven't done the risk assessment for this, but the tea lights, I think, are safe. So if you want to light a tea light, put it on the thing. You've got salt cellars. Just put a little bit of salt where you think we can influence the community, where we can add something of God's flavour to the people around. And I've also added pepper. Pepper just because there's a sort of a darkness about pepper. You know, where are the difficult areas? Where are the areas where maybe darkness holds sway rather than Christ's light? And it could be that you sprinkle an area with pepper and then shove it at a great light candle on top. That might work. Okay? So, and then Glynis is going to come and lead us in a prayer response. But if you want to write some of the ideas of what we could do on post-it notes, and that can join our ideas and board over here. Or if you want to write a short prayer, then you can take the prayer and stick it on that area of the map that we've put up on the notice board there. Is everybody clear on what we're doing? Essentially, it's chat about the area, what's God saying, use the practical elements I've given you to help with your conversations and your prayer. And there's extra resources in terms of colouring more tea lights if you want to use them. Okay, on you go. Okay, if I can encourage you to, I know it's very short, and, you know, in some ways, you know, we need an hour to do this, really, don't we? At least an hour. So I hope the conversation's been helpful, and we've just started generating ideas, and this is a conversation that we can keep going with now. You know, as we share our ideas, as we put things up on the board and prayers up on there, you know, we can continue this in the church meeting, and certainly my table have come out a couple of ideas. Actually, that's potential. We could do that. So I think what I'm going to do at this stage now is hand over to Glynis, and Glynis can lead us in a time of prayer, and we can gather all the stuff that we've done into prayer, and then pray for members of the church as well. Glynis. This is a buck I'm passing to you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you have brought to us today. We thank you, Lord, that you gave a vision, and that vision we need to carry on. Lord, help us to widen the vision and to understand how to help to get more people to come to our churches. Father, there's so much to pray for at this time. There are schools that don't know if they're going back or not because of this concrete. We're the starting of autumn, and people are starting to worry whether they can use the heating, whether they can do hot meals. Lord, we need your help. We need you to show us how we can minister and help others that are in need. Father, we look at Wilkinson's may be closed down tomorrow. That's nearly 2,000 jobs gone. People worried about how they're going to pay the mortgages. Oh, Father, we need you even more. And Lord, there's the wider world, the world that has been devastated in South Africa, the fire that's claimed so many lives unnecessarily. And then we go on to the fires that's hit Hawaii, America, Canada, right the way round to Spain, to Portugal, to the islands. Father, they're having to now start, they've lost everything, every mortal thing some of them have. And they've now got to start and rebuild their lives. We pray into their lives, Lord, for your help and your guidance and for the right people to come alongside them that they need, Lord, to rebuild their lives. Oh, Father, we just thank you that you love us. We thank you that we can come together, not as just one church, but two churches to share today. We thank you, Lord, as we pray for our sister churches, for Carey and Fuller. We ask you, O Lord, for blessings upon all three of us. And we pray for the churches in this town, Lord, that you will draw us closer together. I could go on for a long time for so much disaster in this world. And you know it, Lord. So, Lord, we just lift everything up to you. every mortal thing, and we ask you to help, Lord, as we've said this morning in our little group. It's hard to go out to focus on how to bring people in. There's so much restrictions been put on that we can't go round the streets, we can't do this. So this is where we need your help, Lord, of opening doors. We need new doors opening for Kettering. We need new minds, Lord, that can guide us and help us. And Lord, now I want us to pray for those out loud that need prayer. There's David and Mary. David's not well at all. And then there's Jenny, not well at all. So Lord, we take this time now to lift those up who we know who are in need of our prayers.
Amen.
We thank you
coming. Lord, we just thank you for all these prayers, and we just offer them up to you, O Lord. We thank you again for this morning, that visions have been taken on board. Thank you, Lord, that we know you have everything in your hand. Equip us now, Lord, that we may walk in your way and that we may do your will. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. And our next hymn is Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
before we say the grace, let's just share the peace that passes all understanding. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Let us say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.